This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour two. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb. And then we're going to get into the college weekend as Colorado and Oregon set to face off. But the big game will be on Saturday night when Notre Dame takes on Ohio State. Games that used to really pack the punch early in the season, that would have that big kind of impact, losing a little bit of their impact. But I think this is one of those games, unless one or one team or another dominates the Ohio State-Notre Dame contest, what it does is the team that loses really can't lose again, at least for this year. Next year, heck, who knows? With 12 teams, who knows how that's going to look? But at least for this year, going back to the four-team playoff, you got to be careful. If you, on two losses, no team with two losses has made the college football playoff since its inception in 2014. A two-loss team won the national championship prior to the playoff. LSU years ago won a national title with two losses, but you would want to be careful. But is it going to hurt if Notre Dame were to lose to Ohio State in, let's say, a very close game? No. Ohio State, same thing. The one thing about that game, and you have Sam Hartman on one side, who's been great for Notre Dame since his arrival, and he's got a brilliant offensive line. Defensively for Ohio State, they're going to have to try to get to him. This could be one of those games that is close, fun, exciting, and you really come away feeling like, hey, you know what? Both of these teams are really legit. But it was something that we talked about yesterday, which was about Notre Dame. And Notre Dame has had this time and time again, where they have had seasons where they have been outstanding. They have been great. They've been undefeated. They are one loss and still ranked really high. Their brand still packs a punch. And if Notre Dame, and so what would happen is Notre Dame would get into the playoff, and then they would get absolutely annihilated by a team like Alabama, per se. And all of a sudden you went, I guess we're judging them on a different level than we're judging other teams in college football. And that would always be the answer. So the question about Notre Dame is, are they good enough to be on the level that Ohio State is, along with Georgia, along with USC, teams like that, that are going to be really vying for the national championship when this is all said and done? It's unfair to put that on this group. It's unfair to put this on Marcus Freeman, the head coach, and Sam Hartman, who had nothing to do with Brian Kelly's teams, with Ian Book and other players like that, who failed to deliver when the big moment arrived. But it's part of the Notre Dame lore, is that in the end, they weren't good enough. They just weren't good enough. They provided, you know, before TCU got embarrassed by Georgia, there was Notre Dame against Alabama years ago. Like, it was just like that. And Ohio State doesn't have that problem. If Ohio State loses this game this weekend, they've got multiple chances to prove to you that they're still Ohio State, right? They're going to have a game with Michigan coming up. There'll be other games in the Big Ten, Penn State, all that. They'll have a championship game to play at the end of it to help their cause. They've benefited from that before. Notre Dame does not. So this weekend so far has been the best weekend, but that's not – when people say that, and I've been hearing this a lot, they're like, this is the best weekend of college football this season. Did you really think it was going to be week one? Did you really think it was going to be week two? You need some games under your belt for the games to matter and to have some impact. I'll give you an example, Colorado, right? Now, TCU is a fine team, but TCU is not the 17th best team in the country. They were benefiting from a national championship run prior, where most of the players on that team were not on the team on the team this year. And so Colorado beating TCU set the tone for where we are with the Buffaloes right now. You know, 3-0 going to Oregon. Can they do it again? And I'm going to make the argument that TCU at the beginning of the season is not Oregon after 4 weeks or 3 weeks. That's not a comparison that you can say this is apples to apples. I mean, Colorado is going to face an Oregon team much stronger than the TCU team that played them in a shootout in Fort Worth at the beginning of the season. But of course, week four is the best week in college football. And you know what? Week 6 might be better. Week 7 might be better. Week 8 might be better. It's going to depend on where these teams are in relation to their opponents. And you might have some surprises and you might have some matchups that are a lot better as we go along. But I would argue this. What makes this weekend great is that you can look across the landscape and you can find really, really good games in almost every single conference. All right, I've got a game in the SEC between Alabama and Ole Miss where I am telling you, I think Ole Miss has a legit shot to go to Tuscaloosa and knock off Alabama. Texas has already done it, and Alabama can't seem to figure out its quarterback. And Lane Kiffin, I think, has been chomping at the bit for a game like this, where he's got a team good enough to beat Alabama. He's had a team in the past. Yes, he's had teams in the past that have not been able to be competitive. I think he's got a team that can be competitive enough and beat Alabama. I think this is the team. I don't know if it'll happen, but this is the team. The Pac-12 has 3 games on its schedule of top 25 matchups. The Big Ten has Ohio State going to Notre Dame. That's not a conference matchup, but it's Ohio State in a big game, right? Jim Harbaugh is coming back for Michigan, but they're just playing Rutgers, so I don't think that matters. But you've got Penn State going up against Iowa, right? Solid opponent in Iowa. Penn State trying to say, hey, I know people aren't really paying attention, but we've got an outstanding quarterback in Drew Aller should be paying attention to.
I'm trying to remember, was it Iowa or Iowa State that kind of got screwed over last week?
I think it was Iowa State.
I think it was Iowa State with that field goal.
Yeah, I think it was Iowa State. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because they were playing Ohio, I think.
Yes.
The Bobcats. Yeah. Yeah, it was Iowa State. And then in the ACC, Clemson, albeit not ranked, is hosting Florida State. I don't care where Clemson is. Going to Death Valley is really hard. And Florida State, who struggled against Boston College, that was a team they should not have struggled against, but it was at Boston College, and now going on the road to face Clemson. And if you're Dabo Swinney, what's a way you can erase the mess of losing to Duke? Beat Florida State. So yeah, you got a great weekend. Really great weekend in college football. I hate to admit this, but I'm being drawn in to the Dion Oregon Colorado matchup. I'm getting sucked into that. I mean, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see what kind of game this is going to be. Is it going to be a shootout? Is it going to be 35-34?
Well, it can't be low scoring.
No, not a chance.
I can't see that. I mean, first of all, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
do you know why it's not going to be low scoring? Because here's the thing no one is talking about. Colorado's defense is terrible.
Yeah.
And without Travis Hunter, it's terrible more, if that's a word.
Terribler.
Terribler. Let's make up a word to describe the Colorado defense without Travis Hunter.
Well, you know, but are you keeping in mind, though, Tony, that Deion Sanders has been playing Oregon's fight song during practices?
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
So keep that in mind. You know, he's fueling the fire.
He hasn't been able to come up with the diss. We still got a day. He still might be able to find something. If I was Oregon, I'd just throw something out there.
Just something random, right?
Like Dan Lanning, like they should ask him, like, all right. Dion needs to understand that he, you know, just make up something, you know. The Dallas Cowboy teams that he were on were really overrated. There, run it. I don't care. just go with that.
Richard Sherman was a better Niner than
Yeah,
Sanders.
That's what you could do. You could do that. You could do that. That's right. Yep. And just now, then he goes, oh, they did it. He goes to practice. It's personal. And everybody rolls with it.
I took that personally.
Just to have some fun. I mean,
you guys, you know, they can come out and say, it's like, yeah, you know the reason why they're not staying in the Pac-12? Because they couldn't hack it.
Yeah, right.
That's why they're going back to the
do
Big
that.
12.
Yeah, say something like that. Yeah, make that kind of comment.
That's why the Big Ten was never knocking on their door. They knocked on ours. We turned them down. Then they came back, and we said, fine.
They should ask him about it. They should say, well, what do you think of the job Coach Sanders is doing? Who?
Who?
Coach Sanders.
Barry?
Barry? Is it Barry?
Didn't know he was coaching.
Yeah. The head coach of Colorado. Colorado?
Miles?
I'm sorry, we're looking ahead. We've taken a look at our schedule. This is a speed bump on the way to eventually playing USC. Like, what are we doing? Just to see what Dion would say. It's going to be fun. And that's the joy of college football, is that Dion's got his detractors and he's got his supporters. And I don't think there's anybody apathetic to it. I don't think anybody's like, I don't care. There's a feeling like the reason it's getting 9 million people watching a game is because I think there's people who are like, I'm in on this. I want to see what the result is. I may be rooting against him. I may be rooting for him, but I'm kind of in on this. I kind of want to see where this is going and go from there. If anything, college football at its core, and I know this drives people crazy when I say it, because the initial thought is that you'll disagree with it, but at its core, college football is a local thing. It's not the NFL. Like, the NFL is gigantic. You can care about the Giants-Niners game last night. Even if you live in New England, even if you live in Miami, you can watch. But college football is very regional. It's very, very regional. Games matter more to a portion of the country. So, but occasionally we gravitate towards one thing. Like, we gravitate towards a larger story, right? I'll give you an example. I think USC of the Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush years had that. I think from Maine to San Diego to Miami to Seattle, I think people were kind of liking or watching Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and Pete Carroll. Like, that it felt like everyone was talking about him, always buzzing about him. Everybody's Miami has done that over the years, more in an animosity or love kind of way. The U brand really went everywhere, right? And there were kids wearing Miami starter jackets all across the country. They became that kind of team. But mostly, if you talk about certain rivalries or you talk about certain teams and going to certain locations, it makes more sense locally than people in Tuscaloosa have no idea how hard it is to play at Rice-Eccles Stadium, right? And likewise, people in Utah don't care about the Deep South's oldest rivalry between Georgia and Auburn and the history of those two teams. But Dion has made it national.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It's that time again. It's the good, the bad, and the dumb. But more importantly, it's the Friday edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get you into the weekend, good, bad, and dumb. But this is the Friday edition, nevertheless. What's the good of the day?
You know, I could have gone many different ways with this. I mean, I could have gone soccer and said, hey, did you know Julie Ertz had her testimonial last night?
I saw that. I saw that was it. Huh?
You know, that was something special. Definitely good. She had a great career. I could have gone one of our favorite guys ever, Captain Andrew Luck.
I thought that's where you would go.
Yeah, but no. No. Although he was great.
He was great last night.
He did say the war is over, and so that is fantastic. I'm glad he's able to relax and retire now. No, my good of the day is that I'm a hoping and a praying and doing the tribal dance to make this happen, Tony. I want Maury Povich to come out of retirement. Just one more primetime event. Maury Povich, we all know, is very familiar doing those You Are Not the Father, doing the DNA testing. He has agreed to come out of retirement to do a DNA test results show to prove whether or not Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey are in fact brothers.
I love that idea. That's a great, that is one of those, what, it's not conspiracy theory. That's not what I'm
saying. Urban legend?
Urban legends. Yeah. That's a better word for it. It's not conspiracy because there's no conspiracy to it. But there's like an urban legend that they're somehow related because...
Yeah. Same mom, big, I believe.
Big what did he call his dad? Big John or something?
Big John, yeah.
Yeah, what was his name? He died having sex with his mother. there's a belief that he knew... Somehow, Woody Harrelson's mom said he knew her dad.
Their circles kind of ran together.
Yeah.
And Woody's dad has been, he's in prison for most of his life.
Woody's dad is notorious because he was part of a photograph in the JFK assassination. Yeah. He was, if I'm not mistaken.
Maury, please.
Without getting advanced research, I'm trying to go off my memory here. I think there's a famous photograph in that conspiracy theorists of the Kennedy assassination used called the Three Hobos, back when you could call them hobos. Now, I don't think you could call them that. But it was three guys who were stragglers, right? And they were like, who are these guys? Wait, that guy is Charles Harrison, Harrelson, and he's a criminal. Why is he in this picture? And that's Woody's dad. So if you look it up, it's like three stragglers or three hobos or whatever it is from the Kennedy assassination. Woody's dad is one of the guys. So, yeah, this will be great.
I don't know if they'll come. I mean, they've openly talked about it.
Yeah.
But I could see them where they don't want to do it because they are such good friends that they're past that point of friendship where they do probably treat each other like brothers.
Sure, sure.
And is there a part of them just wants to believe like let's just be brothers?
Remember that TV show My Two Dads?
Yes.
Remember that? Remember? And they
yeah,
they
had a crush
finally
on her.
Something. Had the they did take the DNA test.
Yeah.
They were mad at each other. And they were like, we're going to find out who's the real dad of this girl.
Yep.
But then at the end, they threw it in the fire. That they realized this was a mistake.
You know,
would you do that if you were Matthew McConaughey? If they did a DNA test and he goes in this envelope, this will determine whether or not you and Woody Harrelson are brothers. Would you go, I can't look at this.
I think you I know what they should do. Roll it up and smoke it.
Right. Well, there you go. They're going to do it anyway.
But Maury has said he would come out of retirement. Because I guess Maury and Woody are friends. I don't know how or where that came from. But I guess they have a relationship with each other.
What are some other ones that people have said over the years that are like, well, it's not brothers or sisters, but it's like father and daughter, father and son. Like, weren't there people who thought Kim Kardashian and OJ?
No, Khloe.
Khloe and OJ.
That would be a great one.
OJ Simpson is the father of one of the Kardashians.
Yeah, Khloe Kardashian. Because,
right.
Because if you look at all the original three sisters.
Right.
They all, the other one and Kim kind of look the same.
Yeah.
But Khloe is like, a foot taller than them and like, a foot wider than them. She's built a little different than,
exactly
how mom and the other ones are.
There was another one, and I don't know how they would do this because I don't know if his sample is on file somewhere, but they say Rowan Farrow is no way Woody Allen's kid. That Mia Farrow, it's Frank Sinatra's kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find some Frank DNA.
I think you
somewhere.
Could find some Frank DNA somewhere, right?
My
that's another
is,
one. They completely go. No, this is Sinatra's kid.
I have a feeling Frank left some DNA all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. Scooby Dooby Doo.
Well, could you just get Nancy? Something. She's still alive, right?
I don't know if that works that way. I wish I was a DNA scientist. I'd have an answer for that question.
Like, well, it's not 100% accurate, but 98% sure, since we are.
But people are like, look at Rowan Farrow. Look at those blue eyes. Look at his blonde hair. Look at his jawline. Now look at Woody Allen.
So in that case, we shouldn't feel bad that Woody hooked up with his daughter.
Yeah, I guess. But
that's probably one of the more strangest Hollywood stories ever, was that Woody adopted this girl. And
adopted
like,
a woman and married her.
Now. And she's
so
like,
crazy.
Okay.
That is living in another universe, man.
It really
that is,
is
living in a totally another universe where things in your inner circle are just totally acceptable.
Societal rules don't work with you.
Those things, I've been watching, I've been seeing clips of old You Are Not the Fathers from a judge. Like, it's a TV show, Judge, where there was one where the woman says to the guy, you are not the father. And he like breaks down and the woman is cheering. She's like,
I've seen that one. Yeah.
And the judge like yells at her.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you? He loves this child and you're excited that you're going to be a single mom with no one who loves you.
Yep. And no income or it was
and no,
yeah, else.
no support, no nothing. Just because he cheated on you, he really cared for that daughter, and you're cheering because you have nothing now.
This might have been the same one, too, where the guy was like, he went to jail for 4 years.
Oh, I remember that
one,
yeah.
Or maybe that was a different one. He went to jail for 4 years because of child support.
Not paying child support.
Not paying child support, and it turns out it wasn't his kid at all, and he just did like 4 years and Like,
and she knew it.
Yeah, and she knew it.
Yeah, and she knew it. He lost 4 years of his life. Crazy.
But yeah, so
Maury, I'm kind of into that. I'm kind of into that idea, Maury Povich.
Only Maury Povich in. And You Are Not the Father or DNA Results Show could trump Captain Andrew
remember
Luck.
When Maury remember when Maury Povich used to do real talk shows?
Oh, yeah.
And then he just went, screw it.
Then he went to Jerry Springer route, and then it was like his show and Jerry Springer ran back to back, and it was like, who could be more absurd?
It is an incredible American phenomenon. Like, people legitimately tried to do earth-breaking news-type shows, important issues of the day. We want to talk about an epidemic in our society and how can we fix it. We've got young men and women dying from this or getting sick for this, and this is creating problems. And America went, yeah, no. Can you give me man and brother and sister marry a donkey? Can we do that? Yeah, well, all right, fine, we'll do
and
that.
That's why, I mean, I was always under the conclusion that everybody that was on the Jerry Springer show was an actor or actress.
This gets more and more crazy.
I think when it first started, it was believable. And you sit there and go, all right, you know what? You know, because she just did mention trailer. I guess, you know, those people do exist out there. But then it just got to the point where, you know, she's separating from him and you know, and leaving the kid for a horse.
Yeah. Exactly. For a horse. Come on.
Something all bizarre. Right.
What is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. And we might revisit this one. Maybe not today. Maybe next week at some point. But Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith claims that recruits are now demanding some sort of payment just to book official visits.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, reasoning for this?
Well, because in this era of NIL, now recruits are going, hey, I want to get paid. So they are asking, you know, some of getting paid, you know, upwards to $5,000. And we're talking about the top tier recruits that if you want me to come to your school, you got to pony up some cash to bring me.
That is
fascinating.
Fascinating. That is fascinating. How do you prevent that?
I don't know.
I don't think you can do anything to stop that. Like, there's no rule
if you're going after that five-star recruit, whether it's it doesn't matter what position it is on the field, and you really want him on your team, he's got all the chips.
Well, yeah.
You know, he can sit there and go, well, okay, well, you know, Michigan's going to give me $5,000 to come to their school. What are you going to do?
This is what's going to happen, right? Every single recruit. Like, every recruit says, I want $5,000. The athletic director picks up the phone, dials a number. On the other end of that number is, hello, Big Jim's Auto Details. We'll get you a great car for a low price. Hey, Big Jim, it's Joe. How are you? What's up? I need $5,000 to bring a five-star quarterback to Columbus. All right, I'll send my guy with a check. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Just leave it blank. We'll just fill it in when he gets here. Thank you. Click. That's what's happening. All right, we'll continue that as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. Let's go back to the bad for a second. So the idea is that a recruit now in college athletics, they're demanding payment up front just to visit the school.
Just to visit the school. That's not even – you still might not commit. It's not even to put them in their top-tier choices.
Yeah. On the one hand, I can understand it in this way, because schools will utilize those kids in a way to market their school, like during a game, right? You'll see like a kid will be there, like a kid, let's say he's a quarterback from San Antonio and he's visiting Texas, and Texas will have him in the stands, and then they'll have him take pictures with people.
Right.
And then the school will then utilize that, even if he's not even committed to the school, as the early buzz for the school. Like, look who's considering Texas.
Well, I mean, you think back to like when Arch Manning.
Right.
Right. Let's use him as an example, because he was getting linked with all these different schools, and everyone was kind of keeping track of where he was going. What school was he at? What did he go to? His uncle and grandfather's alma mater. Did he go to his other uncle's alma mater? We were keeping tabs on everywhere he went. And we even knew that he went to Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then, and again, they show these kids in the stands. They're posing with cheerleaders and students and whatnot, is, and they're taking pictures and they're putting it on social media. So it isn't even like we're going to get this kid. They're like, look, we're becoming the program someone like him will visit. So I can understand on the flip side, he's like, well, if you're going to do that, I at least want $5,000. If you're gonna post my face all over social media, yeah, attending one of your football games, I get it.
That's probably how you sell it.
Right, right. So if you're going to use me as a vaulting your program up to this level, then I want a little piece of that. So if you don't mind, a free trip to your school is nothing. I wouldn't mind a couple of grand. You can put me in all your social media platforms that you want, but I do want to get paid for that. You can understand it, but it's just so far removed from where we were to where we are now. Like in all honesty, it's very similar to an analogy I heard a comedian once say, where you go from 0 to 100. Like, instead of tossing a wiffle ball to your kid and having him hit it when he's a kid, what if you just brought out Nolan Ryan to whiff baseballs past him? Like, we went from kids couldn't get a meal without everybody losing their mind, without 70 investigators pouring through your records to see if you gave a kid a bologna sandwich, to, yeah, before I even consider getting on a flight to Columbus, I need $5,000 in the account. Here's the number. Just send it, wire it quickly, and I'll be on the plane. Like, that's how far we are from what seemed like yesterday.
In a short amount of time.
Yeah. Like, I'm serious, man. You don't have to go by that far to find fan bases around the country going, and I'll tell you what, when they catch State University giving that kid a ride in the snowstorm, we're going to win the national championship.
Yep.
That's right. Because they're going to suspend them and fire their coach, and we're going to be all set for next season. Because you can't give a kid a ride in a snowstorm. They're going to catch him doing that.
He's got to
walk. We're not that far. We were not that far from that. Where people were like, I'm mentally uncomfortable with the idea of a coach giving a kid $5. Like we were like demanding school, the NCAA step in on fishing trips that players were taking with boosters. Like, insanity. We were losing our minds over fishing trips and giving kids extra meals and giving kids like gas money. Like, we were going nuts. And yet now look at where we're at. It's now business versus business. I'm Jay Smith Incorporated, quarterback, five-star recruit near Ohio State, Texas, Michigan, Alabama. And now we're going to do business.
Yep. I want but you. You want me. How much is it going to cost?
Yeah. It's not even business to the schools. It's business with whoever the school gets the money from to be the third party that pays in on this. Because they still can't give the student athlete anything.
And then how does that work? Because, yeah, you know, again, like I said, they may not even come to your school.
That's the thing. Now you need Uber boosters, right? Now you need boosters that are like, hey, Jimmy Bob, we need $5,000. We don't even know if he's coming here. We just need you to sacrifice the $5,000. He may not be here at all. And how many boosters will do that? There'll be a few. Of course there will be.
Yeah.
They love the school. They bleed the school, etc. But then after a while, it's like, I've given 10 payments of $5,000 and we haven't gotten one kid to come here.
Yeah,
not one of those kids came.
What are you doing wrong?
Yeah, what are you doing wrong?
If you were my salesman, I'd fire you in a heartbeat.
I got to be honest with you. If I was an athletic director, I'd quit.
Oh, God, I couldn't. I don't even know how to do it anymore.
I couldn't quit.
Honestly, I don't understand the role anymore. It used to be you were in charge of all the sports.
Yeah.
You know, now it's, you know, now you got this whole other thing. It's like, okay, well, you're in charge of all the sports, but now you got to.
You walk into your office.
Finance. Yeah, you got to.
You see the secretary. She's like, crazy Eddie Electronics is in your office. Yeah. Really? Yeah. I couldn't stop him.
And you got Chuck from Dodge. Yeah. He's on line one.
He's on line one. Yeah, he's kind of concerned.
I mean, if you're the AD, do you walk in and just go, she says that to you? I got an appointment. I got to
get out of here. I can't deal with this.
Right back around.
Oh, my God. It's like before it was bad when they would come into your office and talk about the option offense.
Right.
You're like, oh, please, go home.
Booster's telling you,
I
like,
can't deal with this.
You know what you need to do? You need to lean on the coach. Help me, he needs to run this play.
You got to be nice.
He needs to play my boy.
You got to be nice to every rich fan at your school all the time. You can never tell them off.
It's not,
you can never tell them to stick it. You can never tell them to shut up.
No, you're kissing something.
You are kissing something the entire existence every day.
It's not being nice.
Yeah. Every minute of every day, you are kissing something constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Your knees are just burnt to a crisp because you're on them all day long.
And how, and on the flip side, before we get to the dumb, how great has this been for the very rich boosters? They're like, I have more access than I've ever had before in my entire life. I don't have to hide it anymore. I don't have to put it in a suitcase. I don't have to stick it in a kid's jacket. I know it's wide open, and they're calling me and asking me for favors all the time.
Yeah, now it's open. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're not hiding. You're not doing the cloak and dagger stuff anymore.
Right, exactly. Because before, if you had Jimmy Bob Motors at your practice, people would be like, ugh, watch that guy.
No, you remember,
if he slips you an envelope, you got to let me know.
You remember the movie The Program?
Yeah, of course.
That was one of my favorite scenes.
Filmed at the University of South Carolina, by the way.
But that was one of my favorite scenes when they're walking around after a game and a booster comes up to to Omar Epps' character. And he just opens up his jacket, sticks in an envelope, and says, yeah, you played really great today, and walked away.
Yeah.
And Omar Epps goes to, you know, the big linebacker, and he's like, what? We can't take this. And he goes, man, shut up.
Exactly.
And then he takes the envelope from him. He's like, you don't deserve this yet.
Right. There's no question about it. No question. All right, so what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, Tony, is that a Venezuelan resort, which had its own nightclub, restaurant, casino, supermarket, and zoo, was raided over the weekend.
It had its own zoo?
Wait. Sorry, I read that wrong. Let me start again. A Venezuelan prison, which had its own nightclub, restaurant, casino, supermarket, and zoo, was raided over the weekend.
Oh, how great. A prison with a casino.
Yeah, apparently I lost the name, but it was this prison is kind of controlled by this one gang.
Sure it is. Right. Of course it is.
And if it was there, it's inside the walls. Yeah, you had a nightclub. The nightclub was called Tokyo because it had a Japanese theme to it.
Excellent.
Had its own restaurant. So when visitors came, you could actually sit down to a meal with while you're in prison with the visitors.
Yeah, I've seen Narcos. I get how this works.
I mean, it had a zoo. And when
had
I say
a zoo. Can you imagine being the powerful prisoner that said, I need a zoo? Really? Yeah, I need a zebra. I need a giraffe. I need a couple of elephants, hippos. That requires an entire staff. I know, I get bored and I want to see, you wouldn't mind. I just want to see penguins in an ice
pool,
cage.
The swimming pool, I get that. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if any of our jails had a swimming pool. But it also had a full-size baseball field because it's Venezuela.
I mean, can you imagine a restaurant in a prison? Like the server is going to the table going, the chef has made a great duck l'orange. Comes with whipped potatoes and baby carrots.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, I think I'll go with the duck l'orange, and she'll have the lobster a fondue. Great.
Yeah,
thank you.
So we can have the name out there. Tren de Aragua.
That's awesome.
Criminal gang.
Awesome.
Was allowed to roam free for years inside this prison.
Casinos. That's my favorite, the casino.
Casino. Well, technically.
They ain't playing for toothbrushes and cigarettes.
Technically, prisons all have a casino.
They pretty much all do. Yeah, that's very true. Probably nothing organized with a dealer going, place your bets.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
You think the blackjack dealer comes out and just shows his hands real quick?
Shows his hands
Man,
real quick.
See nothing.
Claps his hands.
All right, let's go.
Let's play.
But the zoo gets me.
I mean, the zoo is awesome.
The zoo actually had tigers.
You had to hire zookeepers, veterinarians, food nutritionalists. I mean, the staff of a zoo is incredible, and it's for a prison. Prisoners can see a tiger. To see an elephant
Tigers,
when
lions,
they want.
Crocodiles, and pumas.
That's awesome. Fantastic. Oh, God. Oh, goodness. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Josh Alper is going to join us, Pro Football Talk, coming up in top of next hour. So in 15 minutes, we'll talk to Josh about the upcoming games this weekend and the season of 2 weeks in, and then the Thursday night game. The Giants lose pretty badly. San Francisco moves to 3-0. Here are a couple of stats. So with this, according to the New York Post. So from the moment that the 49ers had a 17-3 lead with 1 minute and 40 seconds left in the first half. Okay. So at that point, just under 2 minutes remaining in the first half, these are the statistics from that point on. The 49ers ran 41 plays. The Giants ran just 17. Yeah, that's atrocious.
Sorry, Giants. I don't mean to laugh in your face, but that is
offensive yards, again, from 140 left in the first half to the rest of the game, from that point on, leading 17-3, the Niners gained 245 more yards. The Giants had 51. The Giants had 51 in a little over one half of football against the Niners. First downs, the 49ers from that point, 15-3. And the time of possession, which was already 2-1 in favor of the Niners throughout the whole game, was 19 minutes and 47 seconds, nearly 20 minutes, to 8 minutes and 33 seconds. So basically, even leading by 14 points, the Niners continued to dominate the Giants all the way through to their victory last night, a 30-12 loss for the Giants. And I said at the beginning of hour one, is it more interesting to talk about Brock Purdy being 8-0 as a starter and all this, whatever the statistics are as a starter, all of those things? Or is it more interesting to talk about how the New York Giants believed Daniel Jones was their quarterback and gave him $40 million? And 3 weeks into this, what do we have? We have a come from behind 31-point second half against Arizona. That's what they needed.
Shutout
in the first game.
You forgot the slogan.
And last night's complete disaster of a performance. Go ahead.
But you left out the slogan that they came from behind Arizona, a team that is tanking.
A team that is tanking. That is tanking for Caleb Williams.
That you shouldn't have been behind in the first place.
And they rallied to win that game with 31 points in the second half. And then last night, he can't move the team effectively. Again, as I said in hour one, and I'm going to repeat this, no one should confuse Daniel Jones with, let's say, a Justin Herbert or a Joe Burrow or any of the elite quarterbacks. That's not where the Giants didn't pay him that. They didn't give him $55 million a year, right? They didn't give him a $52 million a year contract with 210 guaranteed and all, whatever it is. They gave him $40 million, okay? But you're supposed to at least be competitive. At least show up and put up a fight. At least show up and try to, even if things are falling apart around you. And believe me, last night was things falling apart around him. The defense couldn't do anything. None of the blitzes worked. They couldn't stop the Niners on third down. Saquon Barkley's not playing in the game. But the quarterback should at least give you a moment of, all right, I may have to put some more work into this, but this is how we're going to do it. With the coaching staff, we are going to play. We're going to do something here. And Daniel Jones overthrew wide receivers, couldn't convert some key third downs that would have made the game a little tighter. Again, Jones could have had a good game and they still could have lost. And his numbers, what stands out in his numbers is not the completion percentage, was the yardage. The yardage was atrocious. It's short passes, couldn't go downfield. But again, it does go to show you how very, very important Saquon Barkley has been to this team. Again, with Saquon Barkley, they probably still lose this game because the Niners are a Super Bowl-level team. But 9-7-1, and there was a feeling that Brian Daboll was the answer, and he still could be, but the first 3 weeks of the season, if I'm a Giants fan, I got to feel like this is just like the days when we didn't have an identity, yep, and we couldn't figure just all of the, where we were going through these coaches and GMs, and everyone stunk.
Honestly, prior to last year.
Right. Last year.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the Jaguars. Because the Jaguars were terrible. Then they had that one season.
Yep.
Where they made it to the AFC Championship and probably could have gone all the way. I mean, they were leading in that game, right?
Against the
Patriots?
Against the Patriots. They were leading in the fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then lost it. And then, you know, the Patriots go on the Super Bowl. And then the Jaguars went right back to who they were.
They beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh to get to the AFC title game.
So why?
Yeah, and then they went right back to being awful. And Blake Bortles went from they can't play.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's Jones.
You and I said it when he got the contract. It's like, I don't know. You know, maybe you're backing the wrong horse, but you're going to back the quarterback over the running back anytime.
Yeah, but you know what? It goes back to, again, you can say, okay, we're not going to give Daniel Jones a deal. Fine. But now you've got to answer the question to your fan base. Okay, now who's the quarterback? Do we just find him in the draft again and start this process all over again? Or do we want to build on a 9-7-1 season feeling like the combination of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley was good enough to get into the playoffs and win a road playoff game, and we're taking the steps in the right direction? I mean, I'm glad they didn't break the bank for him and give him a $55 million contract. But at the same time, you watch a game, you watched last night, and it was – he's not a difference maker. I can't stress this enough. I understand that the Niners were a better team. They were going to be better than the Giants everything working for the Giants.
They were going to win no matter what. I don't think anyone would dispute that, that team is going to win.
In the NFL, where there is a thin line, you want a fighting chance so that if the ball bounces your way, you might come away with a win. Right? It's not college where you could be Georgia Southern and play a perfect game against Wisconsin and still lose by double digits. That's what happens in college, right? You used to hear this all the time. We could be perfect. We're still probably going to lose. Like that's the way it is. The NFL is not like that. If you're really good, you might win. They might make a mistake. You might do something great. The ball might bounce funny. You don't know. The Giants were never in a position to even do that in this game. Which is all you want from the Giants with Daniel Jones is the ability to go, just keep it in some level where if we get an interception or they fumble the ball because of a hit, whatever quirky things can happen in a game, it might change the game. This game was too easy for San Francisco. They controlled the clock. They controlled the yardage. Everyone was getting involved. They didn't need Brandon Ayuk. Jones was throwing short passes because they weren't as hell going downfield. And when they tried to go downfield, he was overthrowing his receivers. Multiple things that went wrong. By the way, they went. Here's the funny thing about this game. Wink Martindale, who loves to blitz, blitzed against one of the best blitz-beating quarterbacks we have in the NFL in Brock Purdy. And he lit him up again. Because his weapons around him, so much of the yardage, so much of the Niners' yardage was yards after the catch. Except the one throw he did throw to the corner to Samuel for touchdown was great. That was a great throw. Great throw. But a lot of it was, I just have to hit Christian McCaffrey. I just have to hit George Kittle. And they're carrying three guys with them.
Debo Samuel is covered in oil.
He is absolutely great. Unbelievable.
Because, I'm going to give Al Michaels credit because I think he was the one that said it, that his yards after catch are off the charts.
Off the charts.
And it's because, you know, he does get those, like, you know, those 2-3 yard slant passes, and then he takes it 10, 15 yards.
And that's how you beat the blitz, right? You wait till it comes, and then you know you have multiple options to hit, and then the coverage is coming to you, and there's space.
Right. But last night, it wasn't even about that. It was the fact that, like, the Giants couldn't tackle.
Right.
So,
they couldn't tackle.
The defensive side of the ball, but again, you have to go back and you have to point your finger at the offense because, I mean, towards the end of the game, I can see the defense is tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get what, a rest for three plays and then you're back out on the field?
And again, I'm not trying to excuse Jones because I'm actually not. I'm actually thinking that a quarterback, you have to step up. His offensive line wasn't giving him enough protection. He had to go short. He couldn't go downfield. But there is a way that quarterbacks can figure out a way to get around those things, and he couldn't get around those things enough to keep him in the game.
Well, that, and just, you don't ever see, he was never mad at his offensive line.
No.
And I think that, you know, it's like you almost... Your offensive line, I mean, yeah, they know they have a job to do. They are paid to do put in the work. But a good offensive line, there sometimes there's a little bit of fear.
Sure.
That the guy behind you is going to have, he is going to ask for you to be replaced.
Yeah, that's right. Because the offensive line was pretty terrible.
They're going up
against one of the best defensive lines in the country.
Right.
In the NFL. But still, that's a cheese. That Swiss cheese offensive line was doing Daniel Jones no favors.
Yeah. I mean, there is no improvement from when they played against the Cowboys.
But you know what was the saddest part for me watching it? Well, not really sad, like Lassie sad, but more like sad is for Giant fans. This is who Daniel Jones is, though, right?
I mean, yeah.
This is kind of a typical game where things don't work, so he doesn't work. Things, you know, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have this. The other side is doing this, the other side is doing that. His defense is doing this, his defense is doing that. And he's not that good, right? When something is not quite right, he doesn't quite perform. When everything's working, then you might get a really good game out of him. I feel like that's just the way Daniel Jones is. Josh Alper will join us, and then we'll get to our games of the weekend.